Take your Bible there and turn it to the book of Acts, chapter 28. And also, you want to turn over to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And then you want to also turn to the book of John, chapter 3. And you put your finger in all those places. You got 10 fingers, right? Man. Chapter 28, we're going to be looking there at the beginning of that chapter, and we're going to read down there for a few verses. Amen, where the Bible says, "And when they were escaped," they had just had a shipwreck, "and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness." They were being nice to them. "For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he had should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god." That's a small g. That's what they said. So you got the picture there, right? Okay. Now go over, keep your finger here now, because we're going to come back to this, okay? I'm preaching on the subject, you got to shake it off. You got to shake it off, okay? Now let's go back there to the book of Numbers, chapter number 21. The book of Numbers. And I've been doing, a running text through the book of Numbers. I'm trying to get a whole month of messages out of there. You never know when you might be preaching somewhere for a month. Okay? Okay, anyways, chapter 21. You know, I don't know this for sure, but they told me old time meetings were protracted, sometimes weeks and weeks of preaching. Yeah. And nowadays, you're lucky if you can find enough people to stay 3 days. And I pray the Lord give you guys, it looked like you have a whole week lined up here soon, correct? All right, so I'll be praying the Lord to help you get through a whole week. Because we're busy people nowadays. And I think sometimes we're too busy.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I mean, the day we live is fast and furious. Move, 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 go, go. Time schedules and everything, people pushing and shoving to get in line and everything. But I think, boy, wouldn't it be nice if we could go back to a little bit slower time in life? Amen. Now, by the way, when you get older, you do slow down. Okay. And so I'm not going to apologize for being slow. But I do know one thing. Things are going too fast for me. I need to just slow down, and as they used to say, you need to slow down, smell the roses, amen. I don't even know if people know what a rose smells like anymore. But this day we live, they don't want you to think. They just want you to keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Do this, do this, do this. And the old system that started way back, I don't know when, win them, wet them, and work them. You ever hear that? Huh? Win them, wet them, and work them. Well, a church that does that ain't going to last very long.
No.
And the people that get caught up in that aren't going to last very long either. Amen. Chapter 21, everybody found it? Okay, notice with you would, please. Okay, the Bible says, "And when King Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that the Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoner. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, 'If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities.' And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to the compass of the land of Edom. And the souls of the people was much discouraged because of the way." We can almost go, amen for that. Okay, get discouraged because of the way. "And the people spake against God." Get discouraged, blame God. "And against Moses." Got to blame the preacher too. Wherefore, ye have brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread, what God's given us. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now go over there to the book of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. Very familiar verses, verses 14 and 15. And most of us could probably quote 3:16 for sure. But notice these two verses, okay? We're dealing with, you got to shake it off. Now, in that particular case, the snakes came from the Creator. The snakes were sent by God. Why? Because they were fussing, complaining. They were discouraged in the way, and they turned on God and the man of God. Now, the serpent's bite is a bite that'll kill you. And obviously a lot of people died in the book of Numbers because they didn't have what Moses made for them. That was that brass serpent, a type of judgment. When Jesus died on the cross, he died for the snake bite you had. And you had to look at him and know he was your payment for your sin. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Okay? So in John chapter 3 now, verses 14 and 15, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now you can go back there to the book of Acts. That's where I'm going to be taking my text from for the preaching tonight. And like I said, this is a test message, amen? I'm testing it on you guys. If you throw me out, I'll know not to try it somewhere else in Maryland. Maybe they can take it in Pennsylvania, okay? Hey, listen, it's important for us to realize that these snake bites are a picture of Satan. Now, I realize that God sent those snakes into the camp there in Israel. Why? Because they had turned on the Lord. And they actually turned on the leadership that God had given them, Mr. Moses, okay? And so in order for them to get right, if they got bit, and by the way, it didn't sound like he took the snakes away. He just gave a way for them to get victory over the snake bite. And he said, when did the snakes leave? I'm not sure. I can't answer that. Maybe you can come up with something in the Greek or the Hebrew, okay? But the problem is people got bit. And I'm just going to say it tonight. You're probably going to get bit by a snake. I'm not talking necessarily about the wiggly things. There's probably some around here, I would imagine. This looks like it'd be good copperhead country. And I would imagine that, you know, if I were to say, how many of you have handled a snake, there might be one or two here who would say, yeah, I like snakes, okay? My daughter was a snake handler. Not really, she raised some. And she sold them. People bought snakes for pets. Florida is now filled with pets that were left loose that have now gotten to the point where they're actually destroying the other animals down there. Because not all snakes bite, some of them just squeeze you real good. And you get caught by one of those squeezers, they can hold you up too, amen, and swallow you whole. So I want to deal with the subject, you need to shake it off. You have already experienced a snake bite, no doubt, sometime in your life because you had to go to Jesus and ask him to forgive you for the sin that snake bite gave you, amen. That snake bite could be in the way of, you know, just being a thief. Or perhaps the Bible said, unbelievers and all liars will end up in hell one day. So just unbelief is a snake bite from the devil himself. You could follow that through scripture. In chapter number 3, the snake shows up doing what? Creating a little doubt. Just something to doubt what God said. And that's all he had to do to get Adam and Eve to end up in a mess. Now we know that Eve took the fruit. She transgressed. But Adam took it knowing what was going to happen. And he chose Eve over God. That's a snake bite. It's a little quiet in here tonight. That's okay. You hear better when it's quiet. Amen. Hey, listen, a snake bite can be serious stuff. Anybody ever get bit in here by a snake? You don't need to raise your hand. You're still alive. That's good. But you know, a lot of times, even where the snake bit you, there is that mark that'll stay there forever. I mean, you'll be able to say, I got bit by a snake there. You know? You'll be able to point to a place where somewhere in your body, you know that the snake bit you there. The problem isn't so much that the snake bite's coming. The problem is, do you know how to get victory over the snake bite? Okay? So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us and see if maybe some of you couldn't shake it off tonight. You might be experiencing some of the reactions of a snake bite in your life. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I trust you'll help us now. Lord, the subject matter may be a little difficult for them to follow, but Lord, if you'll help them, I believe that we can come to a conclusion that we've all been bitten. We all have the bite of sin in our life. And Lord, we needed a Savior. Thank God for the picture of John 3:16, that brass serpent that was placed on that pole and lifted up before the people was a picture of Jesus dying for our sin. The bite of sin has taken us all to the place, Lord, where without you, there's no hope for life or life eternal. But Lord, I would pray you'd help now. You know the need in this building. And Lord, no telling what we've been through, but Lord, you know what we've been through and you know how to help us. And you got that anti-venom, Lord, that can help us, Lord, to believe in the Lord Jesus with all our heart. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're there in chapter number 28, I want to just look at a few obvious things that I noticed about this problem that I guess you could say the Apostle Paul showed us how to get rid of some things. First of all, we understand as the snake bit him, okay? I want you to notice what brought the snake out, and that is some fire. When the pulpit is hot and the preaching is done in a correct way, the snakes will come out of the fire. Amen, Pastor Harvey, amen. Hey, listen, all you got to do is start preaching on some subjects of what's going on in this world and how people are falling prey to it.
Yes.
And deal with it and let people know that's a sin you're fooling with. It's like playing with a snake. You're going to get bit. And if you get bit and you're not anywhere handy to where you can get that anti-venom, you're going to end up dying with that snake bite.
Yes, sir.
Hot preaching. I mean, Holy Ghost-led preaching deals with problems of the day in which we live. We're not traveling through the wilderness, but I'll tell you, the Christian life is a wilderness journey many times, but you don't have to take 40 years to get right with God.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, these people that waited all that time to get right with God ended up dying in the wilderness, and their carcass remained there, and they never did get to cross over into the precious promised land that God had promised them. I'm of the opinion that, you know, people don't realize how badly they had been bit by the snake. Now, notice what the Bible says here. It says these people were being kind to them. Isn't it nice for someone to be kind to you? Amen. I think it's nice for people to have kindness. We're to be tender-hearted and kind. Yeah, I mean, we're to be that way. And yet there's the snake bite of, I'll call it, lack of love for people. People that just don't like. You know, a church ought to be a place where people come in here and say, you know what, I think those people love me. But they may have come into a den of vipers. The Lord reminds us that some people are vipers. Matter of fact, you study your Bible carefully in the book of Matthew, there are three instances there where the Lord referred to these people as vipers, and they were people that were just anti what the Bible taught about loving people and caring about people. And they were biting the people with the, I'll call it, the I don't give a rip attitude. Doesn't matter to me if you live, die, or what you do. I'm my own boss, and I'm not putting you in my life in any way. You know, to be a good Christian, you got to let people in.
Amen.
I said, you have to let them in. And I know how people are. I listen, I was one. Hey, when you first came into the church, you probably, well, I had one fellow tell me, he said, boy, wait till I come, I'll be a help to your church. He had a high opinion of himself, didn't he? Yeah, and so do you. But I'll tell you, when you come into the house of God and hear what the Bible teaches, you find out, oh my, I've been bit by the snake. I'm so selfish, I can't hardly stand to be around myself. And here I am in a place where the Bible says Jesus loved people, and he said we are to love sinners. We don't have to love their sin, but we need to love the sinner, amen. And they ought to feel like when they come in here, they're not sitting in a room full of snakes. Now they tell me that, you know, a snake will bite you mostly if you step on them. Or if you try to grab one. You know, now I understand, you know, there's different breeds of snakes. I understand that too. But when I look at people, people tend to be selfish. Self-centered and selfish.
Yes, sir.
It's my way or the highway. Everybody has their own highway and their own way. And when sinners come into the house of God, they come here and they're thinking, I'm going to hear about the love of Jesus. And they come in here and find out there's a bunch of snakes sitting in here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to make you guys snakes, okay? Okay, I'm not trying to do that. But if the shoe fits, wear it, I guess, huh? Hopefully you don't have alligator shoes on. You ain't going to get through the people at the border, amen. Hey, listen, notice what it said there. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness. A lot of times, the people in the world are nicer than the people in the church.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, a lot of that can come because the preaching in the pulpit hasn't been hot enough to let you know you need to quit acting that way.
Yes, sir.
Quit acting like you're so spiritual nobody can get near you. Quit acting like you're so full of prayer that nobody can, you know, intervene in your prayer life because you're so full of prayer. I've met people that claim they're praying for me, but I think they're praying about me. You can take that wherever direction you want to, okay? Sometimes you're not praying for somebody, you're praying about them. The Lord wants us to know that the snake bite, listen, can come from even God's people if we're not careful. We can come off to the people around us like, you don't want to go there. Those people are found in the Bible, Pharisees and scribes and hypocrites. I would like to believe they would come into a good church like this and say, man, I got a safe place to be here. I can let my kid play on the cockatrice den. Amen. Amen. Listen, God wants us to grow up in our life and not be a snake.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, I do know this, that, you know, if you're not careful, you can become a snake, not even realize that your colors are changing. Hey, listen, no little kindness. But the Bible says they kindled a fire, so they had a fire going there, and that fire was put on by the people. They wanted to get them warm because they were cold and it was wet. But then notice in verse 3, and Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks. Now, I'll take him and use him as a picture of the preacher. Now, he's working. Did you notice that? He gathered a bundle of sticks. Okay. Now, snakes aren't big workers. They don't build nothing. Did you hear me? Snakes don't build. They just lay around. They just, you know, are looking for a chance, an opportunity. But the preacher, he's working. You mark her down. You can start working for God. And he gathered a bundle of sticks, put it in the fire. The fire got a little hotter, but while he's working, what happened? The snake bit him. I'll tell you right now, if you start doing something for God and start living for the Lord and trying to build a fire for Jesus in your life, a snake may come out of that fire and bite you. And you have to say to yourself, oh God, poor me, I've been bit by a snake, what do I do now? Hey listen, Paul just shook it off, didn't he? And it shook it back into the fire, because where the fire is where the snake won't live. Keep a fire in your heart. Don't let it get cold to where the snake can hang on. Shake it off in the fire, man. Just shake it back into the fire. And don't let the work you're doing for God stop just because you got bit. Well, you don't know what anybody did to me. Did you ever hear people say that? You don't know how they did that to me. They got bit by a snake is what happened. They won't cry about the snake bite. Shake the thing off back into the fire that you should be helping build. This church needs somebody to help the preacher build a fire, amen? And a fire that, yes, the snakes are going to come out of the fire, but praise God, they can be shook back into the fire and not come out again. Glory to God, amen. Hey, listen, a working man of God, a guy that's working, a man that's working, that's called of God, is going to, listen, he's going to get bit. Some of the worst bites a man gets while he's working for God comes out of the fire he's trying to build for God, trying to keep people right with the Lord. It's amazing how people will bite. They end up, the snake in them comes out. Amen. I'm not preaching just because I like to preach. I'm preaching because it's in the Bible too. Snakes are always near. I wonder if there's any in here. Huh? I don't know you well enough to know you well enough. But you'd be surprised. You can recognize, you know, that snakes do different than normal people. They're sneaky. Snakes are sneaky. That's not the sound of a snake. No way, amen? And you ain't going to hear a snake saying, oh, how I love Jesus. No, no, snakes don't make a lot of voice noise. I don't know if any snakes even sing, be honest with you. I wonder about that. A snake doesn't sing. I wonder why. They probably don't have a song. What do you think? Maybe I'm just spiritualizing this text. Will you let me alone for a little while? Snakes don't have a song. Hey, listen, I wouldn't want to be associated with the no singing crowd. Yeah, I mean, we need to make melody in our heart, but oh my, we need to let her rip, praise God. Not be afraid to let our voice be heard as we praise the Lord and give Him glory, amen. Snakes just sit around and go, yeah, they're just testing the temperature out there. See if there's something getting close enough to them they can associate with that person. Us snakes like to stay in the same den together, amen. And one preacher used to say, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Well, snakes like the same den, amen. They look for each other and they hang around each other. Hey, listen, snakes don't have a song, but they do have a bite. They do have a bite. You get around, listen, well, I think this praising Jesus stuff is just a little much. Now, we may have allowed some of this fake church mess out there that acts like they know God and all they're really doing is just trying to promote their little services of activity. But I'm telling you right now, snakes don't have a song. They might have some sort of a hum to them, but they don't have a song. Actually, if I understand correctly, they might have a rattle. And the rattle is just like a warning, isn't it? You hear that rattle? You know, you get around some people and they rattle. Yeah, a snake rattle. Lord help us, amen. Snakes are always near. I said that already. Now, I like what this says about the people. After he got bit, they got looking at him. Now, a lot of people, when somebody gets bit by a snake, I'm talking about in a church service, a snake bites somebody. I mean, listen, when the snake bites, it could be a marriage breaking up. Amen. It could be a kid went haywire, got hooked on drugs. It could be a pornography issue pops up. Snakes are very pretty to look at. And listen, in India, they got those guys that do that, and the things are doing this number, you know, and they're playing their little flute. I'll tell you, snakes have a dance, but I'll tell you, it's not the right one. And if you're not careful, listen, the snake, you listen, he has a way of causing people to have an opinion about things. Well, I don't know he'll hurt us. Look how pretty he is. I mean, I was thinking about Absalom. He was a pretty boy in Scripture. But he was a snake. Turned on his own dad. His heart was not with God, and it wasn't with God's man. Snakes have a tendency, you know, to kind of keep to themselves. But when they get around somebody else, they tend to want to just let them know, I'll bite you. You cross my path, I'm going to bite you. Lord, help a church to realize we got to shake this stuff off.
Amen.
We can't allow the snakes to control the church.
Amen.
We can't allow them into the church. We can't allow them to hang out under the church. We can't allow them to just move around in the church as though it belongs to them. The snake needs to be thrown into the fire and getting rid of him. The Apostle Paul, bless his heart, I can picture it. He got bit. I can see it hanging on him. Can you see it hanging on him, preacher? And he went, shook him into that fire. And then everybody's just kind of going, let's watch and see if it kills him. You know, a lot of things happen in church, and people outside are looking. The barbarians are watching that. I wonder if it'll kill them. Is that going to kill them? Now listen, if something's bothering you enough that make you say, well, only thing I know to do is get out of here. Don't get out. You want to get in when it comes to church. But don't let the snake run you out. Shake him off in the fire. Turn on him and just let him know I'm living for God no matter what. And you're off of my hand. You're off of my eye. Listen, I don't want the doubt that the snake brought into Adam and Eve to be what brings it into the church. The bite of the snake.
Amen.
It brought a bunch of murmuring, didn't it? Yeah, it did. God said, that snake bite's just to let you know, murmuring's not of God. That's a snake bite. That's a condition that snake bites give you, murmuring. Complaining, griping, swelling up like a big old bullfrog, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, God has to help us. Amen. The snake bite is coming. You're going to get bit. If you're in life any length of time, if you've been a Christian a week or 10 years or 10 months, whatever, you're going to probably eventually get bit by a snake. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not talking about the little slivery fellas that you have down here at the zoo. Or the ones that we have in Washington, D.C. But I'm talking about the snakes that hang around Bible-believing Christians. I mean, snakes like to eat. They look for the smallest thing that they can fit in their mouth. And sometimes that small thing can be a large man. And they'll just bite that fella and turn him into an angry, vicious, hateful, grumpy, I mean, complaining, and then attack the preacher. It's the preacher's fault. This church is in a mess because of the preacher. Well, the preacher can end up being the snake too. You know that? Mm-hmm. Sure you do. The snake can be in the pulpit. I understand that. He's up here kind of memorizing you and wanting you to listen to his little tune that he's dancing to. But my friend, I'll tell you what. If you want to get rid of that snake, you better shake it off.
Amen.
Get rid of it. And by the way, we don't need to live with them, right? Amen. I was reading an article tonight, by the way. It just came on my news feed as I was looking at the different things that's going on in the world. And it said that somebody called the people in South Africa and said, we have a mamba in our house. Now, I'm not sure what a mamba is. I have an idea what it is, but it's a black mamba. They called the authorities. The authorities showed up and said, nope, you got a mamba there. And it's not in your house. It's in your bed. What? Yeah, a snake will get right close to you. He'll climb up into where you're sleeping. By the way, I wouldn't want to be a church sleeper. They fell out of the third loft, didn't they? Hey, listen, the problem isn't so much that we fall asleep, but you get bit by a snake, it'll give you the spirit of slumber. Make you slow down because your heart rate will get bad. Your blood will thicken up sometimes. Different ways, different snake poisons have different effects. But it doesn't matter, a snake bite is a snake bite, and you don't need to get one, even if it's just salmonella. Amen. That'll make you sick. Snake bites will make you sick. Snake bites will make you be a little bit cautious about trying to do something else, like try to build a fire. Well, if I build a fire, a snake might come out of there. Build a fire. Let him bite on and then shake him back into the fire and let him know that I'm going to build a fire for God. I'm going to live for the Lord no matter what. Amen. And it doesn't matter. All the snakes in heaven, listen, are not in heaven. Rather, all the snakes are going to hell.
That's right.
They're all gone there. Amen. Well, notice this about that snake. The Bible tells us that, you know, when it bit him, that everybody's looking at him thinking, surely this guy's, he's a murderer. You know, when something bad happens to a Christian, they watch how we respond. And can I say a snake bite is like when something bad happens to us? And then they sit back and they watch. Say, well, this is it. This will kill them. Did you notice their finances are real bad? That's a snake bite, isn't it? When you don't have enough money to pay the bills. And it looks like the job you're working at's done. They've then folded up and moved to another community. And you're like, what am I going to do, Lord? This snake bite. And the people that know you're a Christian are like, see if that kills them. It doesn't take much to kill some people. Some people just die of fright. Amen. Now, if I were to turn a snake loose in here, I'm not going to do that. But if I were to turn one loose, would you girls run? Yeah, you would. You'd run.
I'd run.
He'd run. Yeah, Preacher'd run. Run for the door. Now, I'm going to give you a little surprise. Snakes don't usually chase you. They don't need to chase you. They just lay in wait. They're not really like the lion that the Bible says is like a roaring lion looking to devour. See, he'll pounce on you and kill you. But a snake, he just lays wait. He waited until Eve got over there by that tree and he said, oh, do you really think God's being good to you? It's amazing to me how a snake bite is visioned in the Bible that God had to deal with it by putting it on a pole and making the people of Israel come and look at the snake. You need to take a good look at the snake that bit you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of thievery going on, a lot of thuggery going on. A lot of anything that's good seems to be bad now. And anything that's bad seems to be good. Somebody needs to identify the fact that snakes are always bad.
Amen.
Even ones that don't have a poison in them are not good. Listen, you just don't want to live around them. I found out that they have an odor. And you'd be surprised how a snake bit Christian can have an odor to it. They've done lost the great, wonderful graces of being a Christian. Become a, poor me. God's not allowed me to do this. And God's took this from me. And God's done this to me. And blah, 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 And listen, I've been in the ministry long enough to know I've been bit by the snake a few times.
Yes, sir.
I've been bit by them. And I don't know that I had to shake off right away. I don't know that I figured it out. You can shake them off. I mean, listen, unless you got one squeezing you to death, you can shake them off. Had you ever realized that that problem you're having in life is nothing but a snake bite? That issue you're having to keep the fire of God burning in your heart is nothing but a snake bite? It's an issue you got to deal with, friend. It's there. He shook the beast off into the fire and felt no harm. By the way, the Bible teaches us that Jesus will take care of us. He careth for you. He knows that the snakes can bite. As a matter of fact, if you study that carefully, the Lord sent those snakes into those people's lives. Why? Because they were already living like they belonged with the devil. So he just let the devil be real to them and that they could be bit by the snakes that would take their life if they didn't come and look at what it was that was destroying them. You know what repentance is? Admitting you had a snake bite.
Amen.
Yeah. You got to admit some things in life. I said this morning, I'll say it again. When's the last time you said you're sorry about anything? Now, I'm not just saying the words. I'm talking about in your heart. You say, because a snake bite will affect you. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the heat might bring them out, but the heat will take them away too and destroy them. Amen. Thank God. Get around some good old-fashioned hot preaching. Get around the place where the pulpit stays so hot that sin doesn't have the opportunity to let it move in here.
Amen.
People say, oh, go there to church. All that preacher does is pick on sin. Doesn't he tell anything about the love of God? Yeah, the love of God helps deliver us from the sin. Yeah, you can't experience real love till you've had the sin debt taken care of. Then you know what it's like to be loved. Amen. Hey, listen, if you were dying from a snake bite, you'd be glad for some antivenom coming your way.
Yes, sir.
I was thinking about this when I was getting ready to preach this at a preacher's meeting. And for some reason, I never got called on, so I don't know. I'm trying it on you now. But I do know this, if the first snake showed up in the garden sneaking around trying to create doubt, if you go over there to the book of Revelation, let's do that now. Chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. That rascal shows back up here in the book of Revelation. Chapter number 12. And you know, the sad thing about snakes, okay, is that people that raise them for pets will be the first to tell you, you can't tame them. There's no such thing as taming a snake. Yeah, they learn by, you know, that when you open the lid, you're dropping a rat in. I've watched that. The snake can just open his mouth and drop the rat right in his mouth. They learn that kind of stuff, but you don't tame a snake. Satan is not tameable. I said Satan is not tameable. He's not going to get on board with anything God's doing. He's going to be an anti. He's going to be against it. Chapter number 12 of the book of Genesis or Revelation. And the Bible says in verse 7, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was caught, he was cast out into heaven, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Amen. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Now listen, the snake, Satan here in this passage, listen, he has no right to this place we call heaven, and he has no right to the Christian life. It's only you that allows him to live around you. He's the accuser of the brethren. I read an article somewhere. There's only one snake handling church left in America. You want to visit somewhere in West Virginia, I understand. And just about everybody that's been there has been bit by the snake, okay? They handle rattlesnakes down there, I was told. Now, you think that snake get used to being handled, right? It's kind of like anything that's dangerous. If you get accustomed to handling dangerous stuff and just get, can I say, reckless, you're going to get bit. You're going to get hurt. He's still the accuser of the brethren. He knows his time's short, by the way. And he'll do anything he can to wreck your testimony, to bring you down, to hurt you in some way that you're going to think it was God that did it when the Lord is the one that can help you. The Bible says in verse 11, and they overcame him. Who's him? That's Satan, the devil, Satan himself, amen, and overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives not unto death, or unto death. Hey, listen, I'm not worried about Satan destroying me. I belong to the Lord. But I do know that the devil can bite, and he can affect and infect me. But it's me that has to learn to shake him off. That's the devil doing this. That's now I know. You know, we tend to take it lightly, like that black comedian. You know, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He didn't make you do it. He bit you, and you got used to the venom, and you got used to the poison that he gave you, and you just started activating that poison in a way that you started using it for your own good, or bad, whichever you want to call it. Shake it off. Shake it off. What's hurting you tonight? Shake it off. You don't have to live in defeat. Shake it off. They were watching. He's going to swell up. Surely he's going to die. He's going to get sick. Something. And then they said, no, he's a god, small g now. He's a god. You know, when they see us go through things and come out, listen, we come out better than we went in. We come out better off. I'll tell you, when you learn that the poison of the snake is not going to destroy you. You can shake it off, get forgiveness from the Lord. I don't know why I was handling that stupid thing. I knew better than that. I know better than to go there, and I went there anyway. See, the problem isn't so much that the Lord doesn't give you an opportunity to avoid snakes. The problem is we don't really deal with it seriously. We get so used to the dark, one preacher used to sing. We're getting used to the dark. We're getting used to being around snakes.
Amen.
Hey, listen, if you've been around any length of time, a good church, a snake will show up eventually.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. And they'll try to infect you with the bite. They'll try to get you in on it. Why don't you join our snake club? Why don't you just get in the den with us? Amen. Us snakes don't bite each other, but they do devour one another. Amen. Chapter number 20, I believe it is. Let me look here. I get my note here. I told you this is a test run. Yep, chapter 20, verse 2. Revelation now. Chapter 20, verse 2. Getting close to the Lord. Pulling the curtains, getting ready to go. He's coming soon, amen? Wouldn't that be awful if he came and here you are handling a snake? Wouldn't that be awful if he came and all you're doing is dealing with the pain of a snake bite instead of shaking it off and moving on with your life? You got to move on eventually. You cannot live, oh, but I was bit, oh. Hey, listen, move on. Get away from that memory that you have, forgetting those things which are past and pressing on, amen. Hey, listen, everybody in here is going to get bit sooner or later, and some of you have been bit more than once. If you're going to live for God, you could end up having a snake bite every other week. Because if there's anything the devil wants to do, he wants to accuse you. There he is. He's letting me handle him again. He's letting me do this again. Listen, you have to yield to him. That's why when Brother Ronnie was giving his testimony in Sunday school this morning, he says, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to the Lord. The Lord's not going to let snakes overtake you. He'll let you recognize them. Chapter number 20, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Amen. Cast him into the bottomless pit, and when he comes back out and tries to deceive the nations, he's going to go away forever. Amen. What's wrong with most churches? Well, we've got some snake-bitten people, and they're not wise enough to shake it off. Mm-hmm. Shake that thing off. Don't hang on to it. Get rid of it. Talk to the Lord about it. Lord, I got this stupid snake hanging around the house. Say, get the shovel, cut his head off.
Amen.
Amen. Do something about it. Keep gathering sticks. Build a fire for Jesus. Keep working for the Lord. Don't let a snake bite keep you from working. I mean, you guys that work with a bunch of lost people, I mean, that's like trying to build a fire in a snake pit, isn't it? They all move around. They all jump around. They don't like fire. They don't like to be near the fire. Why? Because they want to hang on to something that they can control. Lord, help us to realize he's coming to his end real soon. Jesus is coming back real soon. And his time is short. So he's out there doing a lot of biting. You know, some snakes have different temperaments. Some of them seem like they're just being your pet. Don't sleep with them. Amen. You might roll over and find out they're going to bite you. Lord, help a church. Help our church. Help this church to recognize a snake bite. And realize you don't have to live under the control of a snake bite. There is victory over it. We read it there in John chapter 3. As Moses lift up the serpent, let's quote it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He can't steal that from you. He can't steal that from you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We sang Victory in Jesus, I believe it was this morning. You can have a victory over a snake bite. I remember when it bit me and I shook the thing off. Amen. I didn't let it get the victory over me, and I refuse to let it keep coming back. I'm going to shake it off into the fire that God has built around my life. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. Perhaps somebody in this room would say, "Preacher, I've had a snake bite or two in my life, and they're not fun. And I know what you're dealing with. It's a matter of being able to admit I've been bit, but I'm not going to let it hang on. I'm going to shake it off. I'm going to take it to Jesus and get it right." And listen, recognize the snake that might be just slivering along your life, closing in, trying to grab hold. Remember, the barbarians are watching. See, they die of snake bites and don't seem to matter to them, but they watch a Christian. Are you willing to, listen, admit, if I'm not careful, I could get bit, because I've been around a few snake pits here lately. I've been around some dangerous snakes lately. And I need to shake it off, Lord, and move on for Jesus. Father, I pray you'd help this precious church, Lord. You know the need they have, Lord. And Father, the devil would have his way. He'd make us all murmurers and complainers. He'd make us all walk around like we're just about ready to die, when in fact we've got the life that God has given to us. It's eternal life. And the fire in our heart, Lord, can help that snake realize he don't live there. Lord, I pray you'll take this message, Lord, somehow, and help them to see the need that, Lord, they may have to go to that brass pole and look at Jesus and say, "Lord, I'm not saved. There's no wonder the snake bites have so much power over me. I need to ask you to love me and forgive me and trust that you can save me." And Lord, we'll thank you for what you'll do. Oh, Lord, help us now.